You know, we were talking here during the break about black troops in World War II, you know, and the, you know, this is always a subject, as proud as we should be of our history, all of it, even it's even the bad stuff, because, you know, our country's come through bad things. I think it's one thing to have bad things in your past and not come through it, or not address it, or not do something to make it, you know, better. But if we've attempted to right these wrongs, and if we've struggled through, that makes us better than most countries, because many countries struggle with this stuff for centuries and they never deal with it, you know.
Well, I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying to you, Robert, what are you looking at, Margaret?
Well, I think you need to be, if you're talking about black troops in World War II.
I'm going to be very honest, and I'm going to say the following thing, because I've done a lot of reading about, obviously, the history of that period, but also I've done a lot of reading on the history of the African-Americans of World War II and the contribution in combat of those soldiers. And any time I can get a hold of any kind of a historical document, even if it is rather fanciful or, if you will, fictionalized, like Spike Lee's movie, you know.
Well, I don't let's say that's fiction.
No. Well, hold on for a minute. The movie The Miracle of St. Anna's, I think is the name of it, is true to this extent. There was a Gestapo massacre in a village. I mean, there were many of them, that not Gestapo, SS, there were many of them in World War II. The Buffalo Soldiers, which were the black soldiers, formed from the Buffalo Soldier Cavalry units, and were now sans horseback.
What's that mean, sans?
You guys don't know?
Well, I know.
Without horses.
Oh.
So they were just regular soldiers walking around with their weapons. What Spike Lee did is sort of synthesize some things, but here's the point that I'm trying to make. Black soldiers in World War II were in combat units. They did see combat, and some of them were captured. While, you know, we captured a lot of Germans. Germans were capturing Americans, especially the Battle of the Bulge. A lot of Americans were taken, and some of those Americans were black. And some of them, as you might well imagine, in the hands of the Nazis, did not fare very well.
Did they let the Nazi kill them?
I believe in one instance, and this was the document that I was looking at. In one instance, there was a very real and very horrific massacre of black POWs by Germans. But the thing of it is, it did not get. And here's the thing: the most tragic thing about World War II, in my opinion, the fate, both the good and the bad, of what happened to black soldiers, black American soldiers, in World War II, was not known. We didn't report it. The press didn't report it. The army wanted to bury it. Even the exploits of Reuben Rivers, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor, they didn't want to give medals to black guys in those days.
Why not? That's the part I don't get, man. I don't understand. You don't like black people, want to put them in jail. Why are you going to cover up the medal they get?
Because it makes a white guy look bad.
Well,
it's true. Makes the white guy look at. They didn't want to acknowledge. What do you mean, black hero? What is that supposed to mean? I don't understand. Those guys are on the move. They're like butlers. What? You mean they're heroes? You know?
Even a Japanese guy, to make a Japanese guy look good before American.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing in that damn movie. What the hell was that thing? Was that Miracle of St. Anna?
Yes. In the Miracle of St. Anna, they had the German soldiers.
That's the thing that pisses me off more than anything. That you got black soldiers going to see a movie, Americans, and they're told that they got to sit in whatever the black section is, and the German POWs, you know, we had German POWs here in America. They were brought over here to America.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
They came over, Nazis was here?
They were prisoners, okay? And they came over to prisoner camps in America, Germans. And they were treated great. They did work on farms, and they had the food, and the farmers gave them food, and some of these Germans remembered their experience over here was so good, they stayed, some of these guys, and they got married. And in one instance, one of them said, oh, yeah, man, we worked on a farm, and then the farmer said, you guys work hard, and then we'll have meatloaf for dinner, all this stuff, right? So, and this is true, this happened. And meanwhile, our own black soldiers are getting hassled and kicked off of buses. I mean, if that doesn't, it makes me angry, and I'm white.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Why are you getting mad as a white man?
Well, because he don't like people getting kicked around.
Why can't you understand that, Bud?
I can understand it.
Bud, look, at the day you get pissed off as a man, forget about whether you're white or black, just did you get pissed off that another American is treated like garbage, that's the day then you and I can have a talk, okay? What do you mean, as a white man?
I'm not saying that they don't have a right, but...
Yeah, but it ain't you, huh, Whitey?
Call me Whitey.
Hey!
to kick somebody's ass. I'll kick both of your asses. It'll be a race war. And it'll be Phil against two races. So anyway, now we have that situation that the black soldiers are dealing with here in America. And in that film, I thought Spike Lee brought that out with that scene where they go in to get an ice cream cone. And that's hillbilly, that redneck, tells them to go around the back. Meanwhile, he's serving two German POWs their ice cream.
So that did happen.
You better believe it happened. It was outrageous. Today, when we look at it today from the perspective of today, is outrageous. To any black listener of mine, of course, it's outrageous. But to white people in this country, if it was the 1940s, not everybody got it. They were all, well, you know, that's kind of too bad, but that's kind of the way it's been, see? So anyway, now you cut to Europe. And there was an incident in the Battle of the Bulge where there was an artillery unit of black soldiers, and I believe it was overrun. The Germans were overrunning everybody. The Battle of the Bulge was the last big offensive of the Germans in World War II. It was the last gamble of Adolf Hitler. He took every last division he could scrounge up, every last tank that he could find. They had the new Tiger had rolled off the assembly line, and they decided to hit our lines in the Ardennes Forest. Why? Because that's where Hitler went in at the beginning of the war. That's how he attacked France at the beginning, through the Ardennes. It was a brilliant move to a point because it was going through a forest, and it was going through a forest during the winter. It's not exactly tank country. Driving tanks through trees is not exactly the brightest thing. That's what he did. It caught us with our pants down, killed a lot of people, and the Germans made pretty good headway for about 48 hours, I don't know, maybe a week. They overran a lot of units, and some of those were black units, and they took prisoners of these black soldiers. Now, I got to go back and look into this some more, but of these prisoners that were taken, the black soldiers in this one unit were murdered by the Germans.
Yeah, but the Germans did that to everybody.
They didn't do it to everybody.
Well, what was the one that Bill O'Reilly said where we murdered...
We didn't murder any. Bill O'Reilly's a freaking knothead. It was the Germans murdered 88 Americans in Malmedy. But the point is that while they committed that atrocity, we all know about that.
Yeah, and we don't know about the black guys.
We never heard about the black guys, exactly. Now, you know, it's no big, it's World War II, it's a long time ago, we've been going through that stinking war for a long time, but that's not got nothing to do with Germans. What I'm talking about is the experience, one part of history that we don't know, that we have not been taught, that needs to be taught, and we should be proud of it, is the history of all of our people. We're never going to be a country that we can look at our flag or look at ourselves and say we really are Americans until we look at the history of all of our people, and part of that is the African Americans and the things that they did and what they suffered, not just necessarily here at the hands of Jim Crow, slavery, and all of that. That's obviously got to be dealt with, but also what they put up with overseas as soldiers in the American Army, as being subjected to the discrimination there, the fact that they served with distinction and valor and in some instances bravery, you know, above and beyond, and the fact they were taken prisoner by the very same enemy and murdered. Not put into a POW camp and getting Red Cross packages, murdered in cold blood, you know. So that's what we were talking about, Margaret, when you were taking your nightly trip to the toilet.
Well, had I known that, I would have...
You would have held it?
You know, Phil, either you do something about it or I will.
Oh, that reminds me. Is Frank on hold?
Oh, I forgot about him.
Yeah, oh, my God. Poor Frank. Frank, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm sitting listening to you, and you're telling all these stories, and I knew a lot of the guys you're talking about. I didn't know the black soldiers, but I knew some of the white ones. I knew Captain Del Bingham. Did you know it?
Did I know it? No, I,
He means him.
Oh, yeah, no.
Dell, it was over there, and it served with distinction.
All right, so when we come back, we'll get your story, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm sorry, Frank.
I'm sitting here, and I'm playing mumbly you-know-what. I got my thumb parked, and I'm sitting on a toilet. That's the part that really bothers me. You interrupted me while I was on the toilet. When it goes to the toilet, you don't say anything.
Who's it?
Margaret. When it goes to the toilet, it can sit in there for hours, and you wait patiently for it. I go to the toilet, and I gotta hurry up and get off the toilet because it might want to use it. And
all right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
You look like you're all in the heat.
He's our bitch.
I'm all balled up, man. Show. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have another Iron Swine, I am told, with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. That ought to be pretty good. Now, you guys were supposed to be on last night with that.
Yeah, we forgot all about it, but tonight we got a better one on tonight. We can tell them, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tonight on Iron Swine, we are going to play, Iron Swine going to get called in to save a black soldier from being killed by a Nazi. And I'm going to play it, and just to show how we are...
Yeah, we're not going to typecast or anything, and Robert's going to be the Nazi, and I'm going to be the black guy.
Robert will play the Nazi.
Yeah. I'm going to be a Nazi, and he's going to be black. And now, who is going to be Iron Swine?
I am.
Yeah, we'll get Margaret B.
Because I think you need a different dynamic with Iron Swine, all right? And I'm not saying that I want to butt in.
But you know, you don't get to do it all the time.
I know, and I don't want to, but I think tonight... What with Robert being the Nazi, or the Nazi, or whatever.
Nazi.
All right. And you being black or Jewish?
Well, no, it's supposed to be black. What do you mean Jewish?
Well, they didn't like Jewish people either.
Okay, I can be the Jew.
Yeah, okay, good. So you be the Jew, because you're really Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be a Nazi. You be a man.
Yes.
And you be...
I'll be black.
I hope we can remember all of this, okay? So that'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, another edition of Iron Swine. Here's some news that we find to be both good. It's very, very good news. But we are also wondering what happened to Dennis Miller. Adam Carolla is joining Fox News' O'Reilly Factor. I say Fox News'. I don't know if that's the proper pluralization.
No, you could say Fox News. Adam Carolla is joining the Fox News, the O'Reilly Factor.
News.
Don't look at me like I'm joking, Phil, because I'm not.
No, I know you're not joking, and I'm looking at you quizzically because...
Because what? Because I'm wrong?
Because I've... No, that's not... I reject that. News.
That is the... How dare you...
I talk on the radio for a living, not you. I don't sing. I'll leave the singing stuff to you. And I'm telling you, pluralizing news is not news.
It's not.
No.
Well, would you humor me and just say it one time, because I want to hear how it rolls off your tongue.
Yeah. Adam Carolla joins Fox News, the old...
Well, you butchered that alive. God, if that was a baby, it'd have a bayonet in it.
What do we got to use a... Oh, God.
That's terrible.
Well, that I didn't do it. Phil did.
If that was a baby, there'd be a bayonet in it. Why do we have to use that kind of extreme commentary? Just because I misspoke or mispronounced a word doesn't mean that I've committed a war crime. Adam Carolla joins Fox News' The O'Reilly Factor. There. Are you happy?
I think it's musical. That's how good it sounds.
Great. This should be an interesting dynamic, says the fall season TV Scoop columnist. I'm reading directly here from E. Comedian and podcaster Adam Carolla will officially be joining the Fox News family by making appearances on some of the network shows, primarily as a contributor on the O'Reilly Factor, E! News confirms. His role on Factor will be very much similar to Dennis Prager, who currently appears weekly on the show to comment on political and social issues. What happened to Miller?
I don't know.
Dennis Prager? Is that because... Oh. Katy Perry performed at an Obama rally in Vegas.
No, that...
Oh, I'm sorry. Although he's a progressive on some liberal issues. That's very interesting. Although he's a progressive on some liberal issues. What does that mean?
Well, it means he's progressive on... He's a liberal on progressive issues.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know.
That's the dumbest sentence that has ever been written, Ms. Bruna Nesif.
Well, how do you know that's a woman?
Bruna? It's got to, if it was Bruno.
Oh, you're right. The A is the Latin for, that's the female. Yeah, okay.
Right. Although he's a progressive on some liberal issues, that cracks me up. I guess she must be talking, I'll bet you money she's talking about, for instance, pro-choice. There's a lot of people such as, you know, Mr. Carolla and myself, I'd like to add, and probably Dennis Miller that are liberal on those issues. And then when it comes to other things like, you know, the economy and the national defense and just basically taking a flamethrower to terrorists that were extremely conservative.
In other words, you want to shred the Constitution.
Exactly. Yes, I want to shred the Constitution. So I believe in a woman's right, but I don't believe in a terrorist right. So I want to shred the Constitution. Now, in any event, he's a liberal on or he's a progressive on liberal or a liberal on progressive. Or maybe that's just his sexual orientation.
Pretty good, Phil.
Thank you. Corolla's politics lean conservative and libertarian, according to. So his politics lean conservative and libertarian, but he's a progressive on liberal issues.
Well, Phil, you're not going to figure it out any better by repeating it.
All right. Well, in any event, according to the Hollywood Reporter who first broke the story, Corolla will make his first contributor appearance. He will make his first contributor appearance on the O'Reilly Factor this Monday and will likely return each Monday night while Prager continues his Wednesday night appearance. What do you think of Fox's latest edition? Sound off in the comments. Well, okay. What do you think, bud?
I think the Man Show was the best show on TV.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Yeah, when he was on it.
Well, yeah, when he was on it, but Jimmy Kimmel on that show, too.
Okay, so what? It's still a best show on TV.
So what's that got to do with him being on Fox News?
Oh, well, I think it's a good addition if you can bring back the Man Show and do some of that.
Yeah, I would agree. Also, even though I'm liberal on liberal issue. And I'm conservative on conservative issues, too.
See? That's the same dumb thing that guy wrote that Phil was pointing out.
No, it's just, never mind. So you like, both of you guys like the idea?
Yeah, I do.
Margaret?
Well, this will come as no surprise. No, I don't like the idea. First of all, Adam Carolla is a misogynist. The Man Show, I think, has taken the rights of women and has taken men's relationships with women, especially younger men. Excuse me, I'm so sorry, Phil. I couldn't...
Oh, God,
did you just belch?
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. Let's just move past it. The Man Show has taken, I think, especially younger men and their perception of women, as well as a young woman's perception of the young man, and I believe it has really retarded it. It has pushed it into the past. It has pushed it into a bunker in the past. And so Adam Carolla has bunkered, if you will. He's bunkered male mentality when it comes to women. Now then, having said that, I think from the entertainment standpoint, it's very good, because obviously the O'Reilly Factor is an insufferably dull program. Mr. O'Reilly looks as if he is mentally diseased. He's over the top. Bill O'Reilly looks like he needs a straitjacket anyway. Everyone knows that. So anything that softens that program and makes it watchable, instead of looking into the face of a man who you know, and what I'm about to say is going to be controversial, who you know has beaten his wife.
All right, well, what you just said, I will disavow completely. That is not the opinion of the Phil Hendry Show.
Wait a minute, Phil.
No, you wait a minute. You wait a minute. You can say what you want. That is not the opinion of the Phil Hendry Show. That is not the opinion of the Phil Hendry Show sponsors, syndicators, or stations. That's your opinion.
So I'm being left out on my own to twist in the breeze.
That's right. That's what Mr. Henry said.
That's what I said.
Why?
You're not going to attribute to me the comment that Bill O'Reilly beats his wife.
Look at the face on that man. If that isn't an angry man. And by the way, a story that you avoided, Bill O'Reilly tried to have a police officer fired from a Long Island police force when he found out that the man was bedding his wife.
This, again, is an opinion expressed.
Excuse me, Phil. This was reported in the news.
I know that. I know it was reported in the news. It was reported as a source says. It was never confirmed. It's never been a factual piece of reporting. It has been floating out there in rumor, you know, on a rumor cloud, okay? Having said all of the things that you said, I'm simply saying, Margaret, you shouldn't be shocked by that. I let you say what you wanted to say. I am not going to allow you to attribute that to our show.
So no guts, huh?
I've got plenty of guts, but I'm not going to say stuff that's going to get my ass sued if it's not worth it. I don't have any proof of anything that you just said.
And you don't think that man looks like... Bill O'Reilly has that... He has that worn alcoholic face, you know?
Oh, God. You know...
Look at his face! Are you telling me that is not the face of a man that's been next to a jug for years?
We'll be right back with Iron Swine.
Oh, that's right. I've got to rehearse.
Yeah. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You're going to get Phil sued just when you said that Phil O'Reilly looks like he's in a jug.
No, no, you said about a pair of jugs.
Well, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
What, you think Phil O'Reilly would look good with a pair of jugs?
I didn't say that at all, man. That was stupid.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And I'm just testing out my I'm testing out a record process right here before we get into Iron Swine, because this is what has screwed me up. You see what I'm doing, bud?
Yeah.
And now you can see that the, oh, is building the graphic. I don't know. We had a I have a record software here in our studio that I use for. I have no idea what that is. Hold on for just a moment. I've got to do, I must do something. I simply must do something.
What are you doing?
Hold on. I want to listen to something. Yeah. Okay, now you see that? You know what that is? You know what that is?
What?
While I was talking, and I was talking, and I was talking, and you can hear me talking. I didn't have iTunes up, but it was recording iTunes.
Well, you had iTunes running.
I've got iTunes running, but I've got the pot down. For those of you that don't know what a pot is, that means a volume knob. That's the part that's driving me nuts.
Can we do Iron Swine, please?
All right, but I just... The thing of it was, is I wanted to record it. Now I can't record it, but...
Well, it's got to be on the air check tape.
Well, that's true. It'll be in the podcast. You're right. I apologize, guys. So you can listen to the Iron Swine on our podcast. So, all right, everybody, places, marks.
What's that mean?
That's a theater term. You take your mark. You're, all the blocking is done. You know where you're standing, right? You know where the camera is, right?
There ain't no camera.
All right, but you're on your marks, and you're taking your Margaret.
Yes. Now, do I stand here, or...
It doesn't matter. I'm just using the term.
Oh.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it... Get out of here with it. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, Iron Swine.
And now it is time for Iron Swine. I'm Iron Swine, and I'm Margaret Gray, but I'm Iron Swine. The part of Iron Swine played by me, Margaret Gray. I'm Iron Swine. Now today, I, Iron Swine, Margaret Gray... Oh, I'm sorry, let's start again. Let's start again, please.
Come on, it doesn't take us this long.
Don't talk to me like that. Don't be the temperamental director.
I'll be the temperamental director. Now hurry up.
You're playing the... Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean this. You're playing the Jew, so could you just assume your character?
Oh, get a load of you! Woo-hoo, man!
You want me to be the Nazi, I'll be the Nazi. I'll tell you to hurry up.
Yeah!
Don't you talk to me, you... All right, everyone ready?
Wait a minute, I say that.
All right, Jew.
Hey, what's it with the Jew thing?
I'm getting into character.
You're Iron Swine. You're supposed to be the good guy.
Yeah.
Well, what? Well, you're black. What's that make you?
Well, just never mind. Let's go.
All right, here we go. It's Iron Swine. I'll do the credits. Margaret plays Iron Swine. Bud plays the black GI. Robert, you're playing the Nazi, and I play a poor Jewish person, and it's World War II. Ready?
Ready. It's time now for Iron Swine. I am Iron Swine, and as you know, I am called upon to right wrongs, to deliver justice, and to otherwise... correct those things which have gone sadly awry.
All right, come on now, you black guy. I'm a Nazi. I arrested you. I captured you and everything. Get on into that POW cage.
Well, what are you talking about? I'm an American, too.
Yeah, but you're black. Something wrong with you, man.
Just because my skin and everything.
I'm going to put you in a cage and gun you down, man. I think you know better than this one right here. What are you?
Hi, I'm Jewish.
No, you ain't. You a Jew.
Yeah, I'm a Jew.
And then Iron Swine. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, just do a siren sound.
I'm Iron Swine. What do you think you're doing?
Who are you?
I just got done telling you I'm Iron Swine.
Well, I'm a member of the Waffen-SS. I'm a Gestapo. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, the Gestapo. They was civilian. You probably is Waffen.
What is Waffen? Is that the Waffen House?
The Waffen House? Waffen means war in German.
Well, what was the Waffen House? I'm going to go and get myself a stack of flapjacks at the Waffen House.
Yeah, I think I might join you there. That's where the Waffen SS had a breakfast.
Well, unhand that black GI. Are you planning a massacre?
Yeah, I thought so. First, I got to kill me a Jew. Get over here, Jew. That's gas.
I'm dead.
All right, there goes one Jew. Now here comes the black guy.
No, you won't. I'm going to punch you right in the face.
Ow.
Yay, I'm free.
This has been Iron Swine. Now we all go to the Waffen SS house for waffens. I mean waffles.
All right, beautiful.
I have to hand it you. That was a wonderful death scene, Phil.
Thank you.
Yeah, you die good, man.
Don't make a big joke out of it. But I,
German, man, I gassed you.
Well, you are now a Waffen SS German, okay?
What's the difference?
Well, not every German was Waffen SS. They were just all, you know, douchebags.
That isn't fair, Phil. Not all of the...
Yeah, okay, whatever you say. All right. All right,
Yeah, that was great. Did you get that on a podcast?
Yeah, it's on the podcast. Whatever, that was fine. It wasn't all that great.
Wasn't all that... Get a load of him.
Wow. We do one of the best Iron Swines that had ever been did, and you're all...
Phil doesn't like to spread the joy around.
Yeah, Mr. Ennett, what's wrong?
What was the big deal with it?
Wait a minute, I get it. You didn't have a very big part.
Well...
Oh, wow, just because you didn't have a big part, you're all pissed off.
Well, all I got to say was, yeah, I'm the Jew, and I'm dead.
Yeah, that's your part, man. Everybody got to play their part. Obviously, I had a prominent role, and so Ms. Gray, and Bud... And, you know, yeah, it would be up for the Academy Award.
It depends on screen time. If you had a lot of screen time, you may get a supporting actor nod. That's what they call it, a nod, you know. But if you are a on the screen, oh, I'm just really excited.
What are you guys talking about? This is all it was some stupid little bit on a radio show.
We could win a potty.
What's that?
Isn't it a podcast award?
A potty?
Well, sure.
I don't know what they call podcast awards. Maybe. Maybe not. In any event...
Well, cheer up, Phil, just because you wasn't like a big star on the potty.
Yeah, you won't get a potty, but you know what? We'll make you a part of the potty. I mean, a part of the potty.
Great. Thank you very much.
We spread the love, Phil.
Good. All right, so very good. That was a good Iron Swine. Thank you very much. Let's move on, okay? Because I know it's not because my ego's bruised that I didn't have a big part, although, you know.
Get over it.
Fine. Obama and Romney hit final stretch with bursts of fundraising. Get a load of this, man. This is some mutt. Hey, did we already deal with Frank? Yeah, get him out of here.
I already told Frank that he just isn't interesting enough to have on the air, and he said fine.
Okay. President Obama and Republican challenger Mitt Romney each held unique financial advantage headed into the final 19 days of the race after raising money at a furious pace during the first half of October, and that's a really long sentence, and yet I got it all out in one breath, and aren't I great? Romney's campaign and affiliated party committee raised $111.8 million.
I'm going to call it, next time I have a party, if you don't mind, I'm going to call it a party, I'm going to call it,
you should call it Robert's Party Committee.
Yeah, that's great.
Big wow. So,
Well, it is a very unusual name, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's the Party Committee. Romney's campaign and affiliated party committee, that's about the political party, raised $111 million between October 1st and the 17th. $111 million in a two-week stretch. Wow! Where's this money coming from, you know?
Well, obviously there are people that have got it.
No kidding! Look, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, it's... Whew. That's buying a lot of TV ads, man. Is that what that's buying? TV ads?
Well, I can't think of anything else that's...
What else are they going to spend it on?
I know, they buy a bus.
Yeah?
They could buy a bus. I think they've bought the bus by now. I think they've bought the plane by now. In fact, I'm sure they've bought their plane. I think I've seen the plane. I think they've bought buses, planes. They've got campaign headquarters. What do you do? I think you have campaign headquarters in all... With that money, what you have to do now is you've got to spend it on the real... You've got to spend it on what's called the metrics. Do you know what the metrics are?
Well, are you talking about now the math and the...
Yes, the metrics. You got to spend it on the actual numbers crunching infrastructure. So what have you got? Who are your people that are going to head up the focus groups, the surveying the demographics? How many of this? How many of that? What states you're strong in? How many delegates? You know, what are the counties? I mean, these guys have got it down to a science. You run for president of the United States, and this is something that, you know, I could never explain to people. People never understood this. We're, as an American people, as a voting, as just a voters, we are at least 30 years behind what's really going on in terms of our knowledge. In terms of our knowledge. I'll give you an example. 2008, there's Obama. He's breaking bread with this scumbag Ayers. He's having lunch with a guy that may be a socialist. This, that. Everybody jumps on that. I understand, because they're going to make hay while the sun shines. Oh, my God, the guy's a socialist. Look what he did. And all these dumbasses, like Beck and the rest of them, excuse me, Glenn, but, you know, in any event, they get on TV, and they're talking all this crap like it means something. Oh, yeah, Obama's a socialist. And what they never did understand, when you look at the kind of money these guys are raising, we all say the same thing. Look at all the money that's going to waste. We never say this. It costs a lot of money to get elected president of the United States. And it does. It costs a lot of money to get elected president of the United States. Why? Well, because it costs a lot of money. I don't know why it does. Now, if it costs a lot of money to be elected president of the United States, and you're a guy that wants to be president of the United States, even though you're a Democrat, and you're black, and you've got the Democratic Party, which is a party that will entertain, a lot. I'm sorry, but the Democratic Party will entertain a black candidate much quicker than the Republicans. Excuse me for saying it, but it's true. It still isn't a party that's going to say, that's just going to jump for joy. Oh, great. We got a black guy. We're running for president. They're not going to do that. You have to convince them. They're not going to dump a bunch of money on your ass. They're not going to say, oh, well, let's run a black guy. We've had 8 years of George Bush. What's our best shot at becoming, getting a black guy? A guy that no one's ever heard of. A guy with a weird-ass name. A guy that was, his father was born in Kenya and whatever the hell else. All kinds of baggage. Let's go ahead and run this guy. Boy, have we got a chance for that. They are not going to buy it. They're not even going to go near him. So what did Obama do? He's got to go out and he's got to, what?
Got to raise money.
Raise money. Now, I don't know if anybody listening to me right now knows anything about raising money, but I can tell you this. You go places that some people probably don't think you should go. You talk to people that some people probably don't think you should talk to. You shake hands, you knock on doors, you sit down on couches, and you have drinks with people that some people may not think you should be having drinks with. But your job is not to, you're not creating a photo album of family pictures. You're not, this isn't some kind of a social club you're looking to form. You're looking for money. And who are the guys that are going to give money to you, a black face? I'll tell you who they are. And you know who they are. You're going to go to the lefties, some of these cats that are left-leaning, some of these socialists. You go wherever you got to go to get the money you need to run for president of the United States. Because if an African-American in this country sat around in his dead ass expecting all of the beautiful people of the world to just start dumping money in his lap because, guess what? This is just the greatest thing in the world. We'll elect a black guy. We are never going to have a black president. We'll never have a black president. These guys, Obama knew what he had to do. He had to go out and he had to knock on every door. And so they got pictures of him knocking on this door. They got pictures of him knocking on another door. But people that took that stuff serious, excuse me for saying, they don't even know. As the saying goes, they don't know what time it is out on the street.
Yeah,
they don't. And they don't know what time it is. And guess what? Their political party or the party they follow or the individuals that they listen to, they manipulate their brains every which way. Oh, yeah. Look at Obama, man. He sat down with Ayers. Man, what a socialist. What a commie. Oh, yeah. Can't have that, can it? I mean, you know, you want to buy that, fine. But you could see a mile away, if you were thinking about it, what it was Obama was trying to do. Today, at the end of his first 4 years, he's got Democrats, progressives, lefties, left-leaning, whatever the hell you want to call them, who think he's the second coming of George Bush. George Bush light. He's a freaking fascist. He's a pro-military. Oh, my goodness gracious. How did this happen? We elected a flower power progressive, and this guy went out and put one right straight through the head of Osama bin Laden. And he's still over there in Afghanistan. And another thing. tough.
Well, I just listened to all of that with shock. As a matter of fact, I've got to go change my...
Why?
None of your business.
You had an accident?
Yes, I did.
Margaret just had an accident in her slacks.
Excuse me. Give me... You don't...
Get away from my microphone.
You have no right.
So I said something so shocking there that our resident progressive, Margaret Gray, just streaked her panty liner.
Wow. Man, that... I wish you hadn't said that, because that brings up all kinds of really disgusting thoughts.
All right, well, let's speaking of a never mind. Speaking of a commercial break, I'm kidding. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I had an accident, if anyone's interested.
Welcome here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back. I wanted to just do a little tutorial, if you will, on our daily podcast, because I think you might find it illustrative. This, as you probably can see, is the homepage of a site that we call philhenryradio.com, but you can find this at philhenryshow.com. But if you go to our website, let me just show you. If those of you who are on Phil TV, maybe you see this. But you're not sure what it means. Those of you who are not yet BSPs, then you go over here to that banner, you punch that, and you hit this podcast banner here. And when you finally do hit that podcast banner, you see this list of episodes. And our most recent episode is episode 59. Vernon Dozier has had to take a second job, quote, wearing a paper hat, as he puts it at a sandwich shop, whatever that means, as he puts it at a sandwich shop, piling it high and deep for people that don't appreciate him. Okay, now I know what that means. Basically, what it means is this. I cannot grammatically make myself understood. So, having said that, let me get rid of this. This is driving me crazy. All right, so having said all of that, what I wanted to do was play you a little bit of it, but it is a Vernon Dozier bit that we're very proud of called Pilot High and Deep. Grammatically, that's just jacked up.
Well, Phil, you're the one that writes these descriptions.
How did I put that? Vernon Dozier is working at a sandwich shop, and he's wearing a paper hat. Vernon has to take a second job wearing a paper hat, as he puts it, at a sandwich shop, piling it high and deep for people that don't appreciate him, from 2005. Okay. So if you go over there and you hit that link, you'll be able to listen to our podcast. That podcast, by the way, is free, but it won't be forever. We are laying these podcasts on people for free, and I want to get rid of this iTunes because it's really driving me ape, bud.
Yeah, sorry.
It won't be forever, and at some point we'll probably still, offer it up, but it'll be as part of our subscription package. Let me just see what this sounds like.
Hello,
here.
It's Phil Henry. It's time for another episode of the Phil Henry Podcast, brought to you by Amazon.
Well, there you go. That's our podcast. And then we
backstage pass gets you access to all of these great.
We have a little ad.
Full shows.
And then we jump right into the podcast, which sounds sort of like a bit from our show.
And it is where I wear a paper hat. I wear plastic gloves, I put on a paper hat, and I put on a paper apron, and I sit there, and I, as patiently as I can, I say, welcome to, the store name, may I help you? Yeah, give me...
I'm laughing.
Pile that ham on high.
You laughing there?
That's why I paused. I was probably laughing. So that's Vernon Dozier as he is describing how humiliating it is to be a teacher who has to take a second job at a Subway shop. It wasn't a Subway, but it was a sandwich shop.
Well, he's making a very good point.
Well, absolutely he's making a good point. But here's the thing. It's amazing to me how many people don't get it. In other words, there was Vernon saying, you understand that I'm a teacher? Yes. And you understand that I do my very best to teach? Yes. And you understand that we don't get paid enough? Yeah. So I have to take a second job as working at a sandwich shop. How does that make you feel? And everybody that called was the same. Well, you could do another job. In other words, nobody got the pathetic reality of that. A teacher has to take a second job working at a sandwich shop?
Well, I mean, a lot of people take a second job.
All right, let's say just a second job. But this was back when the economy was flush. This was back when everybody had bread, you know.
Well, I hope so. He works at a sandwich shop. Just a little joke. Well, why aren't you laughing?
Because it sucks. That's...
Yeah, it sucked. Wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I just streaked again.
Do me a favor. Don't tell me every time you have an accident in your underwear.
Don't it?
Boy, her voice just cracked. Or mine did. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. And, of course, we are online at philhenryshow.com for all of your needs. All of the things that you need, all of the things that you may need, all of the things that you don't have and that you wish you had, go to philhenryshow.com. If we don't have it, we'll find someone that does have it. If we have it, we'll still try and find someone that doesn't have it to make us look better that we do have it. Get a backstage pass and enjoy thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours of outstanding radio comedy, audio comedy at philhenryshow.com. Until tonight at 10 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.